Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 476, the box office report weekly wrap-up.
Question
we still don't
mark?
Have an official name for it because we're lazy. Thing
I like just the not box office
that
report.
We do. It's that thing.
It's that thing.
So we have a guest, so I'm going to make you introduce yourself very quickly, Joe, so she doesn't have to sit there in silence.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us today via the magic of Skype-a-phone is longtime listener, show share, and Patreon member, Nicole Hsu. Hey, Nicole, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. Yeah.
You've been listening for a while, right?
Yeah. Before I started graduate school, which was 5 years ago.
Wow.
Oh my God.
And so would you say that your graduation was made possible because of our show?
No.
I appreciate the honesty.
That's pretty good. Just the not even missing a beat.
Yeah. She's
no.
like, oh, not at all.
No.
Well, thank you, Nicole.
She's like, I worked far too hard to give you schlubs even a sliver of the credit. And what is your graduate school stuff? I'm sure there's a more official name.
Yeah, so I'm getting a PhD in bioengineering at Stanford.
Holy cow.
my research is on jellyfish swimming, but yeah, let's not talk about that.
Perfect.
Okay.
Well, we have a lot in common. When I was a child, I was bitten by a jellyfish.
Was that right?
Yeah.
Then you two are practically
stung, like a jellyfish sting.
Yes. I was young. I didn't know what it was called.
It didn't like consume you.
No. Well, some days I look in the mirror and I kind of wonder.
You got bitten by a radioactive jellyfish.
I'm very gelatinous.
And that's how Tom got his nickname, the jellyfish.
Right.
Now, that's not what got Steve Irwin. That was a stingray?
That was a stingray.
Yeah, like, in his chest.
Like a freak accident, right? Like they're small and like it just happened to get him at the right.
I think.
No, wasn't it like a.
Like they have barbs.
Yeah, but it was like it was the tail.
Yeah, the tail.
Yeah. The tail went into
but,
his
I mean,
chest.
They don't go around usually attacking. It's just, I think it was like a freak.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
Now his kid's on Fallon all the time. So,
yeah.
You know, good for him.
It's so
it's
funny,
a
though.
Her. It's a her.
No.
Oh, but they have two.
No.
There's
well,
two.
No, but, yeah, but
the son is on Fallon.
The son is on Fallon.
Oh, I didn't know he had a son. I only knew about the daughter.
He was young. Like, he was a baby when he died.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And now he's taken over, like, the Steve Irwin role.
Yeah.
Mindy, I think, is the daughter who was
Bindi.
On, like, Bindi, who was on, like, Dancing with the Stars and things like that.
Oh, I thought she was doing the whole, like,
They both do animal stuff. It's they're dumb. You both are right. You just don't know about.
He's the one in front of the camera. I don't see her on Fallon almost ever.
Well, I don't think she goes on Fallon. It's she does tons of animal stuff elsewhere.
He does the Steve Irwin.
Joe has his TV set
thing.
To Fallon. Apparently, yeah. That is where he gets all television knowledge.
I mean,
well, they
works.
All have a TV show together. It's something with the Irwins.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
It's not on Fallon,
but
though.
I don't know what something is.
If it's not on Fallon, I don't know what happens.
So, I guess before we go too much further afield, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously, which is why we whore out for it every single week. And, of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus contents. And maybe we make you get out of bed early and talk to us, just like Nicole. even if you're a nuclear astrophysicist. What is it again? It's something very important.
Bioengineer. That's fine.
There you go. Her fine. Pictures on Facebook, she always has on a lab coat. And, legit. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Wow, look at that. It's not even
wow.
Halloween.
Like, she's,
yeah.
Is that why we had to pay her to talk to
yeah.
her?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, she's badass.
We had to dip into our funds to get her to yeah. get on the show.
Now, let me ask you, what do you know about Dr. Robotnik? Is that in the same field?
I feel like I've heard that. It's a cartoon, right?
It's from that terrible looking Sonic trailer that came out. Jim Carrey's playing him in the Sonic.
Oh, well, I can't watch any of that. It looks awful.
Fair enough.
That's probably for the best. I don't think anybody's gonna watch it. So you'll be fine.
They're gonna redo it.
The okay. whole movie?
Well, the whole Sonic.
Which is, I mean, that's the first time I've ever heard that happening. Where, like, the people are just like, this is awful. And they're like, we'll change it.
But it's smart, though.
You think the people working on Aladdin are like, wait, we can do that?
Well, someone said the same thing about Aladdin. I'm like, that thing comes out in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that's not
happening.
Yeah,
fixing that one.
But it's smart because as soon as that outrage happened, I said, because there were so many people online, you know, especially on Twitter with fan art and making it look better within hours. And I'm like, if they are smart, I might have even said this to Tom. I'm like, if they're smart, they will listen. They have until November to do this. Like,
I didn't realize it was that far away.
Yeah. They have plenty of time, and it's all CG elements. I know it takes time, but again, sure. You have till November. You don't have to refilm anything. I'm like, if they're smart, they'll listen. And like 2 days later, I mean, to their credit, they came out and said, we listened. We're going to fix them. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
I mean, how many millions?
They fix them for the better.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
If they come
out
with
something. They're going to put in a real hedgehog.
They're going to have him. He's going to be played by Jim Carrey in a suit.
If they did that, though, I would watch that.
If it was Jim Carrey as the villain and the hero, sign me up.
Just Jim Carrey in like a realistic looking hedgehog.
No, I just want him in like one of those blue man suits.
Oh, okay.
Like,
fair
that's
enough.
It.
With spikes glued onto his back.
Yeah.
That's just because you want to see his junk.
Well, it's all right.
I'm not judging you.
Thank you.
I mean, I am, but not in that. Not in an offensive way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, now I don't know what to do.
I'm just judging you specifically as a human being.
It's a story of my life.
Yeah. So, also, League of Show Sharers, don't forget, you can go to facebook.com/realspoilers. Join the League of Show Sharers, share an episode, and hear your name on an episode. How exciting must that be for people?
Whoa, super exciting.
It must be, because a lot of people do it every week. That's and true. We appreciate it, and we have a ton.
Well, I've been to Nicole's done it before, and she graduated, so I mean, look what happens.
I have actually never
you know what? As soon as you said that, I'm willing to bet she hasn't,
because I would already know how to say her name.
Correct.
Wow.
But she does the Patreon, which is very yes.
Patreon's more important.
Oh.
Cool.
It's like, yeah, so.
So that's a good point. You can also pay us to not share the show. That's fine. You can either share the show. If you want to listen, you have to share it or you have to pay us. That's
right.
One or the other.
You can't just sit back and do neither.
That's
so.
Right.
So people who were kind enough to share the show this week.
Oh, man, is this the Avengers shows?
It is the Avengers shows. And it's the other two while I,
oh, yeah,
I was
right,
out.
Right,
so,
right.
So here we go. Linnea Thunsell, Jason Wiese, Susan Carlson, Tammy Sherman Powers, Gabriel Lugo, Travis Tewitt, Timmy Tuzoons, Dylan A. Lang, Chris Sanders, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Ron Johnson, Ralph Tribble, Julianne Jordan, Ken Mills, Nick Scott, Jason Michael, Griffin Fox Smith, Zara Vandekriek.
That's a new one.
Which is my new favorite name to say.
And I think Nicole has to sing the song now.
Since Stan's not here, Nicole has to sing a song based around Zara Vandekriek. 1, 2, 3, go.
Oh.
Dan's like, damn it, I could do that?
Yeah. Only if you're a nuclear bio astrophysicist.
It's the only way.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Zara Vandekriek sounds like, she sounds like either like, she'd be like the snob character in a snobs and slobs movie from the 80s, or a Bond villain.
Ooh, good call.
Zara Vandekriek.
Yeah. No, I like the snobby.
Yeah, she probably doesn't.
That's probably true.
She's probably like, F these guys. Yeah. I'm kind of to share the show, and this is what I get.
I grew up on the streets.
Yeah.
It just makes me think of Christoph Waltz saying Wunderbar for some reason. I don't know why, but that's...
So back to show shares, already in progress. Troy Anspaugh, Brad Hyen, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Ding Yon Guo.
Welcome back.
Chris Magic Man, Richard Lawson, Lane Levanway, and the Austin Time Machine.
Ooh.
What?
I'm assuming that's because of our Back to the Future 2 episode.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I think it's like the DeLorean based out of Austin.
Yeah. Oh,
awesome.
Okay.
Stuff. All right. So And to show you how effective the Austin Time Machine is, they actually shared it 3 weeks ago.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So,
no.
Yeah, it's pretty 88
miles an hour.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So,
if you guys have that sports almanac, if you could send that our way.
Actually, I don't want to know. I have enough stress in my life right now with the Blues in the playoffs that I don't want to see if they win or lose.
I mean, if I was super rich, I wouldn't care what I do.
Wait. You would get a sports almanac, and that's what you would do it for, just to calm your nerves about games?
We're okay.
No, you're supposed to use it to make yourself filthy rich.
There is somebody bet on the Blues at the beginning of the season. It was like a $150 bet, and now it's up to, since they've made it. Like, so when the season started, they were awful.
Yeah.
Then after Thanksgiving, they turned it around and were just like dominant. So now that ticket is worth like five times what he paid for it. And people are just like, can we buy that ticket off of you? And he was like, no, we'll just wait and see.
Well, five times would be $750.
Well, no, you know what I mean? Like, it has grown exponentially.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, wow, people are really fighting over that $700.
It's a big ticket right now.
Yeah, I can't believe they turned it around.
That's him.
Yeah,
we'll wait. Yeah, Tom's like, whatever.
Yeah,
Nicole and I are both great. Local sports.
Thoroughly bored by this conversation.
Oh so. No, I mean, I.
You have no idea. I could like sports, but I don't.
Well, even if you do like sports, I'm thinking you probably don't care much about the St. Louis Blues hockey club.
I actually like hockey out of all the sports. Yeah,
but St. Louis Blues?
No.
Actually, my favorite team is the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, it keeps winnowing.
Like,
eventually the answer is going to be no.
I think Kevin Smith likes the Blues.
He wore a David Backus jersey at one point, yeah. For a guy that doesn't play for the team anymore.
So there's all the house cleaning. I guess we'll turn our eyes to the box office?
Sure, if we want to do that before we do news.
Oh, I didn't know if you had news. We hadn't talked. We hadn't planned anything out. So, do you have news?
Well, I mean, I think the big thing we were talking about was the Constance Wu.
Yikes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
What?
It's so frustrating, and I would love to get a female opinion on this, so it's great. I mean, coincidentally, we have Nicole on, and, like, this just happened yesterday.
Right.
So, it came up, but, like, so, I mean, we all loved Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie was amazing. I thought she was great. I'm so excited for the sequel. I'm like, this is fantastic what they've done here. And then I've never seen the show. Does anyone watch Fresh Off the Boat?
It was on TBS.
I do know.
It is on TBS.
Do you watch reruns?
I've seen a few episodes of Fresh Off the Boat. It's not my favorite, so I didn't watch it continuously, but it's okay.
Okay, so I've never seen that, but I loved the movie, and I thought she was fantastic. I'm like, she's a star. I get the appeal and everything. But then she came out with a series of tweets, and I'm sure if you're online, you've seen it, and I posted something in the show shares about it. But
well, it got renewed for a sixth season.
It is the craziest reaction I've ever seen. Like, first of all, everyone's entitled to their opinions, their emotions, feeling whatever they want, and that's not the problem here. Yeah. But maybe Twitter isn't the best place to put it.
Well, and so apparently, Fresh Off the Boat has been like every season, it's on the bubble.
Okay.
It's always a jump ball as to whether or not it's going to get renewed.
This is the guy. The main character of the show is the guy that was.
It's Randall Park.
Yes,
he's Kim
Jong Un, and then he was fake Jim.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So. So it's always on the bubble. And typically, if a show's on the bubble, like after season five, you don't make it,
right?
Because the salaries for the stars of the show increase dramatically.
You would think, especially her.
Yeah. Well, but it's all kind of pre-negotiated. Like, unless your show's a big giant hit, if you're friends. Like the show Friends, not if we're friends.
Because we're not friends.
But like on the show Friends, they could kind of, when it was that big of a hit, you can kind of go and collectively renegotiate.
Which is what they did.
But if it's a show that's, you know, not a huge giant hit, then you just kind of ride out with your contract. And then, but there are like triggers. And when you get to different seasons, you get more money. And that's why so many shows get canceled at the end of the fifth season, is because if it's kind of like barely squeaking by, now everybody gets a big giant raise. And they're just like,
we're done. How in the F is Supernatural going on season 15?
Because it's a big giant hit for CW. On any other network,
it had gotten canned after season 7.
Right. Yeah, like, and so there are a lot of shows
that's true.
You got to look at the network they're on.
That's
so
fair.
like I love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I think that show was
amazing. Is that an ABC show?
No, it's a CW show. On any other network, that show would have lasted. They wouldn't have made it through the first commercial break, you know. But on CW, they're like, "Hey, 45 people are watching."
It's weird because like I you can never really figure out their demo. because for a while it was just the superhero channel, right? Like it was
no,
Super
it was
Girl
the superhero channel to
after.
You.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's true.
It was more. It's
then there
it's
was
more
like Riverdale and Gilmore
it
Girls.
Was the teen
it's like tween
channel.
And teen
yeah.
stuff.
Well,
is,
they, were they did they kick off with Buffy? Like Buffy was kind of like their.
So well,
Buffy,
the WB was...
Buffy was on the WB,
right.
And then when they rebranded
but that was
CW,
like, that was like the prime time.
Right when they when they rebranded CW,
yeah.
they
had Gossip Girl.
They pulled
huge.
Buffy
Gilmore
in.
Girls,
yeah.
Angel.
I think Buffy ended up getting picked up for like one more season because they needed kind of a marquee show to launch CW with.
Yeah.
But anyway,
man,
so fresh off the boat, yeah. like it gets picked up for its sixth season, and she's on the cusp
pissed.
Of being a giant movie star, and she was less than pleased.
What ended up being the case was the exact same thing I told to Tom, literally. I mean, it was clear her disappointment came from she was up for a big role,
right.
and yeah. if she had to shoot fresh off the boat, it would conflict with that. But her reaction to it was, just to paraphrase, she said that she was literally crying, and she
yeah.
drops the F-bomb multiple times. She said, I'm literally crying right now.
She's like, I'm so upset right now. I'm literally crying. And then F word. So
yeah.
Kevin doesn't have to edit.
Okay. There you go. And that's what I was trying to avoid.
And
then,
she says effing hell.
That's what she said. So she said effing hell. And then just a random person said, hey, congratulations on the renewal.
Yeah, I thought that
this
was...
is great. And she said, no, it isn't.
Right.
And then to add insult to injury, just because what we're about to get to is she's going to completely put the blame on people assuming.
Of yeah. course.
So if that didn't make it clear enough when she said the renewal is not great, she goes over to their Instagram page on Fresh Off the Boat and they say, we're renewed for season 6 and she just writes dislike.
Right.
So now after all that, because we knew that after that came out that her PR person is
yeah.
in full panic, you know, mode.
Her PR person's
control.
Like, you know what, I'm just going to the bar.
Yeah.
It's sir, you know it's 6:30 in the morning? Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know who my client is right now?
And so after all that, she came back and you know, she said this was ill-timed, I'm having a bad day, and people think what they know what it's related to, but it's not that, again paraphrasing, but she's basically saying no, it's not fresh off the boat getting renewed,
right?
People need to stop assuming after those two
right.
damning statements.
It's,
people
it's
need
also,
to stop
it's,
assuming
it's funny in this day and age we saw what this did to Katherine Heigl.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, like, this is it's kind
and it's
of the
not
same.
Just a woman thing. We've seen
no.
We've seen
dudes
males
have done it too.
David Caruso
yep.
on NYPD Blue.
Oh,
that
man.
Show was a juggernaut. And at the end of season one, he's like, I'm going to go be a movie star. F all you guys. He only did the first season.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then he bailed.
Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase was not on NYPD Blue.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I
yeah.
thought he took.
But
he
yeah,
he wasn't in between David Caruso and Jimmy Smith.
He was not.
Oh, okay.
And maybe in one of your little fantasies. But
Pierce
no.
Brosnan with Remington Steele.
No, but he
so Pierce Brosnan. But back to Chevy Chase real quick. Yeah, he left SNL at the end of season one because he was like, "I'm going to go be a movie star."
Right.
F all you guys. And in Chevy Chase's
he did.
Defense, he was.
Yeah.
There was a period of time where he was box office gold and he was in a lot of hit movies.
Fletch Returns.
Even
like,
before that, even in that 70s time period, he was doing movies that maybe people don't remember now, but were big hits.
Yeah.
Like Foul Play and, Seems Like Old Times with Goldie Hawn and Charles Grodin. Like, he was in,
okay.
like, hit movies, like, legit hit movies. But but then, what was the one you said?
I said Pierce
Brosnan. Pierce Brosnan. So Pierce Brosnan was on Remington Steele.
He was supposed to be Bond before Dalton.
Yes, and then they went with Dalton because
he
got
couldn't
stuck.
Get out of.
Because, and Remington Steele was similar to Fresh Off the Boat in that it was never a huge giant hit, so it kind of kept just barely getting renewed. It was the poor man's Moonlighting.
Yeah,
and it couldn't, and it just kept getting barely picked up. And then to add insult to injury, when he started getting heat for being Bond, like, and his stock started to rise, they were like, well, let's renew it then.
Yeah, right.
Because
yeah.
now people know who he is.
Right.
And
I'm
he
sure
was
like, whoa,
are you kidding me?
It happened to Tom Selleck.
Yeah,
Selleck was supposed to be Indiana Jones, but then they picked up Magnum PI for an extra season and he couldn't do it.
Right.
Yeah. So
like, if you look at all the storyboards and stuff.
It's him.
Yeah. Even down to the mustache.
Wow. So,
yeah.
And again, being frustrated about not being able to get a great role, that's not the issue.
Totally
here.
Get it.
That's not it. But the way she handled it obviously was poor. And then her response, just because I don't want to take this out of context or just paraphrase it, she said, that was not a rampage. It's just how I normally talk. I say F a lot. I love the word. Y'all are making a lot of assumptions about what I was saying. And no, it's not what it's about. it. No, it's not what this is all about. Stop assuming. Like that, by backfiring like that on people, now you're just calling people liars and
assuming.
Well,
it's assuming, also like, I, you like, could probably get away with that if it's on your personal Twitter feed. Maybe, right? Like that excuse could fly, maybe.
Oh, but saying
but
that
when
on
you,
the Instagram.
When you comment on the show's Instagram page,
like what else could dislike possibly mean in that context?
I think it's kind of game over.
So, and this was to add insult to injury. So if that wasn't enough, okay, whatever. She's mad. We get it. We all know that she lost a role. Like that's easy to
Are they saying that they're not going to go forward that with her in that movie?
Oh no, well, no!
We don't know for sure what the movie was.
Oh, I was thinking it was Crazy Rich Asians 2.
Oh no, no, no!
They won't do that. With
There's no way they're not making Crazy Rich Asians 2. Right. Like that's like that. They'll figure that out. This was clearly about something.
Well,
different.
And I've got her statement. So, so the final thing about this, but to add insult to injury, just wait till I get to the very end here.
Yeah.
I love Fresh Off the Boat. I was temporarily upset yesterday, not because I hate the show, but because its renewal meant I had to give up another project that I was really passionate about. So my dismayed social media replies were more about the other project and not about Fresh Off the Boat. But I understand how that could feel interconnected and could get muddled. So here is my unmuddling with my truth. Fresh Off the Boat is a great show that I'm proud of and that I enjoy. I've gotten to fully explore my character, and I know her like the back of my hand. So playing Jessica is fun and easy and pleasant. I get to work with a kind and pleasant cast and crew, which makes it all quite enjoyable. So obviously I don't dislike doing a show that is fun and easy and pleasant. But in general, I've always sought artistic challenge over comfort and ease. I was disappointed in not being able to do the other project because that other project would have challenged me as an artist, and that other project would have been really hard and not easy or pleasant at all. Sometimes even my closest friends are baffled how I could value artistic challenge and difficulties over success and happiness. But I do. I know it's weird. But my words and ill timing were insensitive to those who are struggling, especially insensitive considering the fact that I used to be in that struggle too. I do regret that, and it wasn't nice, and I'm sorry for that. I know it's a huge privilege that I even have options that Fresh Off the Boat has afforded me, but if one does have privilege, they ought to use that privilege as best they can. For me, that means pushing myself artistically, constantly challenging myself by doing what's unfamiliar and scary, so I'm trying my best to use it well. People assumed that meant I don't love or enjoy Fresh Off the Boat, but I do love and enjoy it. I hope you believe me. People can hold conflicting feelings in their hearts. That conflict is part of being human. So I can both love the show, cast, and crew, but at the same time be disappointed that I lost the other unrelated job. So far, so good. That's what we're saying. No problem with that.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
I appreciate...
Honestly, I'm reading this, and I'm like, oh, good for her. This is all stuff I was saying in my head before this, that it's like you can be happy, but 5 years is plenty for a sitcom.
Yeah.
You've done enough episodes to where you've hit your syndication benchmark, so the show still has value in reruns.
Right.
Right? You know, and it probably has even more value now that there's...
There's
two movie stars in it, right? And so I'm just like, okay, this is all fair. Like,
this should have came out first, but it didn't. And it didn't. You can't change the past, but this is what she should have just said in the first place. Fine. Okay, great points. Final two sentences here. I appreciate those who have given me my space and faith to believe what I say about both parts of my heart. Thank you. It's meaningful when you make the choice to believe women. What?
Maybe we should let Nicole speak first, since she's the one here that isn't a dude.
That line makes me cringe so much.
Thank you.
I mean, I understand people can have temper tantrums. Not everyone is perfect. And you can do some damage control afterwards. But I was on board with thinking it's totally fine. Trump has thrown worse temper tantrums. I'm not saying that she's worse than Trump. Definitely not.
She did try and gaslight us.
Exactly. She was gaslighting everyone. And that's kind of the problem. That perpetuates why people don't believe a lot of women, because this is not really a relevant argument to everything else. Everything else was fine. Would have been sufficient. Cut out the last sentence.
And this has nothing to, like, I don't at what feel like this had anything to do with her gender.
No, it didn't.
Like, you know what I mean? It had nothing to do with her being a woman. It was like, we saw someone throwing a hissy fit, and I even understood the hissy fit.
Sure.
But there are so many instances about things that are, like, legitimately important, like crimes, that women don't get believed on or don't get the benefit of the doubt to, at least, when I say women don't get believed on, like, they don't get taken seriously enough to pursue an investigation. I'm not saying that any accusation should be case closed, that right. person is convicted,
right.
but you should at least...
There's a lot of victim blaming.
You should look at it with a serious eye
correct.
When someone makes that sort of accusation.
But this is crazy that we're right. even talking about this in this context.
To conflate what she just did to herself with that is beyond insulting.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's egregious. But I think where the genderedness comes into it is how a woman throwing a tantrum is perceived versus how a man throwing a tantrum is perceived. Because Trump is still president, but Constance Wu is now hated by everyone, which I don't think that's fair.
Yeah.
So that,
no, I don't. I definitely, like, I agree that it's not fair.
But did she do it or did people do it because they don't believe a woman? Whose fault
but,
is this?
But here's the
she
thing.
She definitely
is,
did it.
She did it. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. She did it. She wrote the tweets. She wrote the comments. And then...
But she even apologized well, but then did it again. Like, from what I hear, from what I understand, because now, you know, there's been people on Twitter that have talked to inside sources and all this, and I know this is going way down the rabbit hole, but apparently this is not unlike her to do something like this, because apparently she's been difficult to work with on set and blah, 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 so on. I don't know all the details. But apparently that's the past. And
gotcha.
So now when I put that story together with all these tweets and how she just can't take her foot out of her mouth, like she has to end on that, and she has to get that last word in, it's like,
right.
I guess... That kind of sounds like that's her MO, is that
yeah.
like, she just has to get that punch in there.
But I will
reasons.
Say from a comparable situation with a man, you got to go back in time, David Caruso.
Yeah.
When he left NYPD Blue, I mean, now it was harder for the public to kind of interact with something back then, obviously. It was pre-internet.
Right.
But I mean, I remember the take on that, people being like,
he was a prima donna.
What an entitled douche.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then he goes and makes this big budget, high profile movie called Kiss of Death.
Yeah,
that
right.
Nobody
that
went
was,
to
that
see.
That was the Nick Cage one, right?
Ironic.
Yeah. and then, like, nobody went to see it. It was a huge flop. And it was, I mean, and it was, I'm trying to remember, it was like a gritty cop kind of movie.
Yeah,
so, like, if you're popular from NYPD Blue, that should have carried over to this, right?
Right.
Like, he didn't go and, like, you know, I'm going to do a musical. And then it tanked hard.
Yep.
And then his career floundered for years until he finally
came back to CSI Miami.
Came back to basically a clone of NYPD Blue,
right.
And came to CSI, and then had a career and was smart enough now to keep his mouth shut and cash those network checks.
That's right. Those CBS checks still look
so
really good.
I feel like this is very comparable to that.
Do you know Rob Zombie directed an episode of CSI Miami?
Who hasn't at this
point? Because he was just like, yeah, I want to give it a shot.
Yeah.
And see what it's like.
Quentin Tarantino directed an episode of All American Girl with Margaret Cho.
Oh, that's interesting.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. They were friends.
But to Tom's point, if this was Johnny Galecki doing this with the Big Bang Theory, if
Who?
This was one of the stars of the Big Bang Theory.
Oh.
If it was him doing that, if it was one of the guys on Friends, this is not a gender issue. Like, if a male star from a TV show tweeted that he hated his renewal,
yeah,
I would bring up the exact same thing. Like, what are they doing?
I get what Nicole's saying about, like, women being perceived as throwing a hissy fit. And I don't know that this story lasted long enough before she tried to start massaging it to get to that point. You know what I mean? Like, I definitely could see it getting there,
right.
You know, but it was like it had such a quick life cycle that I don't know that you really had much of a time for,
which is kind of just the way news is
the
now.
Toxic masculinity to take root over this.
Oh,
issue.
Trust me. They will find a way.
I have no doubt. Yeah. They're really good at it.
They're man. It's like it's like a awful mutant power.
Yes.
So anyway, well, that's all. Go ahead.
Okay. Wait, so one last thing. My question is, did her PR person read over the entire letter and approve it before she posted it? Was
you
there
would think so,
time?
Right?
I would love to know. I can't imagine.
Her sticking that on the end, because at first I'm like, oh, wow, what a nice PR letter. It's crafted with all these valid points.
Until that last sentence.
So it made me wonder. I go, oh, I guess maybe she really did write that then if that got through, or she tacked it on at the end.
Right. Until the last sentence, I was like, all of this is true. I totally believe what she's saying and understand what she's saying. And then that last sentence was just like, oh.
Or she has a bad PR person that said, hey, we're going to spin this as in, you know.
I feel like she tacked the last sentence on only because if a PR person was bad enough to include that last sentence, what came before it wouldn't have been so good.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
That's fair.
You have to be both really bad and really good at your job to do both of those things.
Yeah.
So, like, I tend to think someone who was really good at their job wrote the first part.
Right.
And then someone who was really bad at their job wrote that last part.
Yeah.
Or she wrote all of it, and what she said was true, and then she tried to tack on this, like, girl power roar, and it was just, womp.
She could have said that female scene in Avengers was crap. And then it would have been just a whole other bag of
hashtag Snyder Cut.
Hashtag Snyder Cut.
Well, hopefully it all just goes away. I mean, I really liked her in that movie, and I think she's talented. Mm-hmm. I think she's a star. I think what's really cool is not only what that show has done, even though I don't watch it, but that show, I think, has provided a lot of opportunities and kind of paved the way for more Asian actors.
Yeah.
And then you got a whole movie with a full Asian cast. And so, like, what they stand for is so amazing. And I hate to see anything negative about it, but also any possible missed opportunities in the future. So
hopefully
it all just works out, because she's good at what she does.
I think the important thing here is that we're seeing that Asian actors have finally been given an opportunity to be as big as whiny douchebags as white actors are. I think that's the takeaway.
Small
here.
Victories.
That's the takeaway.
Right.
Got to take the good with the bad,
right?
That's what someone said on Twitter was, this is amazing that we're at the point where Constance Wu can be given the same outrage as Katherine Heigl. Like, wow, what a day we live in. Like, it was written better than that, but you get the gist. It was pretty funny. Like,
that's pretty good.
So anyway, well, that's all I have for news. I don't know if anyone else has anything.
No, I mean,
I'm lazy.
Yeah, there's, I mean, when we talk about Avengers, there's some stuff, Avengers stuff. Okay.
Well,
that we can talk about.
Avengers in the box office.
If it's,
it's been out for 3 weeks. We don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like in the bottom 10.
Right.
It might barely have made it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I guess let's find out, as we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom, and it was a close one. Well, who are we kidding? Avengers Endgame came in with another $65 million, putting it at number one. It's a 56% drop. So this is its second drop that's under 60%, and it has a record-breaking opening.
Right.
So you're having it each time, but you're having a huge record-setting.
Right. Their 50% is like, sure.
I mean, the fact that it's done...
Its third weekend is still higher than Shazam's opening weekend.
Yeah, right.
And just to be clear, Shazam is a hit,
yes,
and Shazam is good.
Love Shazam.
But like, this is
a great mega hit.
This is like once in a generation numbers.
Right.
Yeah. And also, I mean, this week on the show, we are talking about the first live action Pokemon movie, and Pokemon has a huge following.
Yeah.
It's got a huge star in it.
And a huge opening.
And it does, but it's like, but still, Avengers in week three ends up number one. So that puts it at $725 million domestic.
Jeez.
Almost a billion domestic. Overseas, almost $1.7
million. Million? Oh man!
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know they really.
About that.
No, that was in one theater.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
I was gonna go theater by theater. Yeah, right.
That was just the 10 a.m. screen.
Yeah. So overseas, $1.7 billion. We are now looking at worldwide, and I think this is before the estimates are final for this weekend. $2.344 billion.
What did it need? 2.6 to beat the record.
So far, Avatar is at 2.78.
Okay.
So before this weekend, totals were at 2.34. I mean, we are a couple hundred, which I know that sounds like a lot of money, but
we're only
a couple hundred million away from Avatar. Avatar was in theaters like 56 weeks or, you know, something ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is 3 weeks in
And then,
theaters.
Of course, James Cameron's like, here's the little thing that I'm going to try to, you know, make peace with all the superhero nerds. Yeah.
I hope when James Cameron bought that ad in Variety for Overtaking Titanic, I hope he went ahead and just
got the 2-for-1 special.
Yeah. Because if you place two ads at once,
it's going to happen.
It's a little cheaper.
Fold this over. Don't look at it for another 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's like a mad folded.
Yeah. You have to
So there have been some developments with Phase 4.
Okay.
So we know that that Spider-Man Homecoming is the end of Phase 3. This will be the end of that. So we know that in production...
It's the greatest gift you could ever give to Sony.
Oh, big time.
And it's a post-credit scene now.
It is.
They tacked on the trailer. The spoiler-filled trailer that came out a week ago for Far From Home is now the after-credits scene.
I thought
scene.
You meant they made the entire movie the post-credits scene.
Yeah, no, well. That's what it is, yeah. So we know that in the works for Phase 4 is the Black Widow prequel, I assume.
Yeah, one would assume. Prequel.
The Eternals, Black Panther 2, Shang-Chi, The Master.
The Eternals can be both a prequel, a sequel, and a current old.
Who knows?
Because it's Eternal.
It's Eternal.
It's Eternal.
It's across the board.
But you thought Endgame was long. Wait till you see how long Eternals yeah, right. is.
And then Guardians, Doctor Strange 2, The Master of Kung Fu, Nova, and Guardians 3. We know those are...
What's The Master of Kung Fu?
Shang-Chi, which is... he's
the teacher of Iron Fist or no?
No, he's basically Bruce Lee.
Oh, okay.
Like, he's just...
Was he just a whole separate thing? He's not part of another...
He was... I mean, he's part of the MCU.
But, I mean, was he in some... Was he
no.
A, oh, okay.
No, he hasn't been in anything yet.
Okay.
But also, there have been new plans for Thor 4, which I thought would be Guardians 3, but maybe not.
It's just fun to say.
Thor 4. Yeah.
Thor 4.
Ant-Man 3, Captain Marvel 2. The interesting ones were the New Avengers, the Young Avengers, and the Dark Avengers. So the
West Coast Avengers.
Oh, my God. Don't do that. So the theory is that Norman Osborn is going to take the lead villain role in the grounded MCU, barring nothing happens between Sony and Marvel. Like, if they can renew that contract,
gotcha.
Marvel is going to incorporate Norman Osborn.
I mean, didn't Venom make $1 billion and that's just a spinoff? Like, I think they're going to probably...
I would guess.
But that Venom could be the problem, though, right? Because Venom made $1 billion
without Spider-Man.
Without the MCU help. They might look at Spider-Man and go... Well, now that we've got it set up, we can pull it back in house and keep all that money for ourselves,
don't.
Which would be very dumb and short-sighted. Right. But we are talking about studio
that
executives.
That is correct.
If any studio executives are listening, those
you're douches.
Okay.
Yeah. We know that Hemsworth has renewed.
Unless it's Kevin Feige,
then you're,
or Kathleen
then you're,
Kennedy.
Then you're both great.
Oh yeah, we're not saying all studio executives.
No, Zack Snyder.
All of them except for those two.
Scumbag.
No,
he's not a studio executive.
That's true. He's the exec producer on all those movies, though.
I like Zack Snyder, but I think he's really steering into the skids of his Snyder Cut fan base.
Oh, man.
Which is not good, because he's realized, like, oh, I have an audience. I have people. I'm going to cater. He's totally pandering to that audience to stay relevant. But it's like, dude, that's not the route you want to go.
Nope.
He came out with his own line of Axe body spray.
I heard.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. So Hemsworth
is back.
They
say release the Snyder.
The Snyder spray. The Snyder smell. So Hemsworth is back. We know that he apparently has renewed a contract. So we don't know how many that's for, but at least Guardians 3 and Thor 4.
It's coming. It's this summer, I think they said. So I guess probably right around the release of Spider-Man, maybe to drum up interest or whatever.
They're going to start releasing.
They're going to announce the official movies, what date they're in, because the slate, they're already slated for like Marvel release A and Marvel release B,
right.
And they're already set up through 2020 whatever, because remember we have four or five Avatar
because they just got pushed back,
right? Yeah, but, yeah. Well,
sure,
yeah.
We do.
Also in the news, Avatar was pushed back a year after it was pushed back 3 years, right. After it was pushed back 5 years,
right.
And then there's going to be a new Star Wars trilogy written by the Game of Thrones showrunners, Benioff and Weiss.
Yeah, but that's for Disney Plus, though, right? Or
no,
is that,
no,
is that
no,
a
no.
Movie?
Their theatrical trilogy is the Benioff and Weiss.
I didn't realize
they're
that.
The showrunners and the ones who adapted Game of Thrones for television.
Sure.
Benioff is also the writer of X-Men Wolverine Origins. So,
I mean,
and there's some question of, are they just really good at adapting books that are really great? Because these last few couple seasons of Game of Thrones,
right.
So don't get too excited, they are going to be helming a new Star Wars trilogy.
But the Russo brothers also gave us You, Me, and Dupree.
That's very true.
Right,
I mean,
right, right.
You know, right? And Community.
You can't go.
Community is amazing.
Yeah. No, it is.
You shut your whore mouth.
But it's not Winter Soldier.
But that's the problem, though. There can be an outlier.
Right.
But we're talking about X-Men Wolverine Origins.
Right.
And then Game of Thrones, two seasons that they had to write as opposed to adapting George R. R. Martin's incredible books. So it's like, so tonight, the day of recording here, is the penultimate Game of Thrones of the series, and it's the big one where we're, you know, people are going to die. It's the last battle of the show, and so it really could go either way. But it's this last season's been rough.
Yeah,
so.
It's been not.
I think the fine, the ruler of Winterdom, what's it called?
Winterfell.
Well, sure,
Winterdom.
I think it's going to be that Starbucks cup.
There you go. If Starbucks is smart,
yeah. But it wasn't a Starbucks cup.
Well,
it was, but
but if they're smart, allegedly. $2.2 billion in free advertising.
That's crazy.
A marketing analyst put it together,
insane.
And by all the exposure, television, news,
and
whatever,
it wasn't even them.
It wasn't. That little coffee shop in Ireland's like, mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I thought it was a craft services cup.
No, all their catering or whatever, apparently where they go is like a little Irish coffee. They probably cater for them.
Gotcha.
And they're probably sitting here like, what the?
So the other rumors are that Florence Pugh, who played Paige in Fighting for My Family,
is rumored to
be the
good.
What?
That movie.
It was
a good movie, yeah.
She is actually, so the rumor now is that she's going to be the new Black Widow.
Oh.
It's going to be a different character, which there were two Black Widows in the comics.
Oh, a different Black Widow.
Yeah, a different altogether.
So had they married the same guy, and that's why they're both
correct.
Black Widow?
Yes, that's the way that works. Richard Madden, who was Rob Stark, is rumored to be the lead is rumored to be Icarus in the Eternals. Black Panther 2 is a go.
Are they getting Chadwick back for that, or are they just going to try to cast someone else?
Well, they're going to bring back Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. You're T'Challa now.
That's the plan. The Guardians 3 rumors are interesting. The High Evolutionary, who they'll introduce as Rocket's creator, which I'm like, man, if you could pull that off, like that's next
at
level
this point,
cosmic
though,
stuff.
Remember a couple weeks ago when I brought up rumors on Star Wars The Force Awakens
right.
and how crazy they were and they were wrong? Like, I don't even believe rumors.
Well,
like, James Gunn hasn't told anyone about
it. Apparently, the person that is reporting this on 4chan, granted.
Oh, okay.
But
to my point.
But like his previous predictions were all right.
Okay.
So, you know.
Remember? Who were the guys that used to get everything right? Hispanic guys.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yes.
It wasn't Cosmic Book because they are the opposite of that.
Guys.
But the guys that they used to, I mean, I don't know if they stopped doing what they were doing, but those guys would get every scoop and it would be right like 99%
of
the time.
Right.
And I just realized they kind of went away.
They did.
Unless Marvel hired them to be PR guys.
Yeah,
stop spoiling all our stuff.
So Adam Warlock, Beta Ray Bill, which if you have that issue of Thor, hold on to that. Mm-hmm. All in Guardians 3. The Loki TV show apparently is going to be him influencing America's history, like with the Tesseract.
Oh,
like
cool.
That's the show.
That's fun.
The Hawkeye show is Clint training Kate Bishop. Mm-hmm. The Falcon Winter Soldier show will be Falcon and Bucky dealing with a government sanctioned Captain America. Call that U.S. agent. So if you have his first appearance, I would lock that down now as
well.
Actually. Yeah, I would. And then it looks like the Vision gets rebuilt and Wanda tries to give him a soul. And then we don't know.
Okay.
Like that's so
it'll be interesting to see what of those.
It's interesting that they've got this. And they say that the X-Men and the Fantastic Four don't even talk.
What's the one with the Tesseract? They're used to influence American history.
That's the Loki one.
So it's Quantum Leap?
Kind of.
And it sounds kind of like that. Yeah. That What If show on Amazon.
Yeah. Well, there's a What If. So that's the other thing. There will also be a What If cartoon based on the Marvel's comic series where it's just like, what if the Punisher got the symbiote?
Yeah.
Or what if Wolverine killed the Hulk or things
like
that?
This is really fun because now that they have this time travel stuff and we know how it works, that, you know, it's as long as the time stone's there, it doesn't split off. But if it isn't, you can do all this stuff. And then I guess if you fix it, it goes back. Like they can do all these great scenarios and then they can fix it. And so it's like you didn't affect your current timeline.
No.
Which is great.
That's what we said about the end of Infinity of Endgame is technically they did end that story, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Like everything is still in play.
Yeah.
While giving you an ending.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So it's fun. I'm anxious to see what they'll do.
Yeah.
So yeah, again, Avengers Endgame obviously doing tremendously well.
Nicole, did you see it?
No, I have nothing to contribute to this part of the conversation.
Right.
I haven't even seen Infinity War. So
what? How is that possible?
Because she's in graduate school.
I guess that's true. You do have some pressing concerns.
So let's just for comparison's sake, Joe, have you seen Infinity War and Avengers and Endgame?
Yes.
How's your PhD coming along?
Almost done.
Okay.
Yeah. I work for a university, so I, you know.
They just leave them in the break room?
Yeah. They're just like, if you want one, go ahead and take one.
Hey, everybody. In the break room, we have some donuts, and it's Cynthia's birthday if you want to grab some cake. There's also some PhDs in there.
Ooh. In so, what?
Whatever you do, don't grab the English ones because they're worthless. Get some that actually are going to make you some money. Don't. History, art, none of that. Like, go straight for the maths and
science.
Well,
that's all that are left now if
right.
you get there late.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to get there early.
Right.
You get the bioengineer one.
That's why you
one.
Skip the donuts and all that. You can go to Quick Trip and get those when
right.
you go to the PhD.
Can't get a PhD at Quick Trip. Yet.
So, yeah, right, exactly. So, no, I don't want to even joke about that. She worked so hard on hers. I'm like, you're like, yeah, not yet. Almost. Yeah. She's like, you mother.
I got my bachelor's at 45, so... There's that.
Yeah,
I don't have a bachelor,
I feel like I was a part of that journey. I heard about it.
Yeah, that's true. We talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
And Nicole looked down at you the entire time.
No, I'm sure she was like, good for that old guy going back and getting his college
getting
degree
college
for no
degree.
Reason.
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
Pat.
So don't worry, guys. Coming in at number two, it is the movie of the week. So it still made a decent amount of money against a huge Avengers movie. So $55 million for Detective Pikachu, or Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, I guess I would put. I think they're just like, no, you put that.
Yeah,
name.
You put that on there.
We're not taking any chances. You put Pokemon in the goddamn title. Right.
When I had to post the reviews and post the contest for the movie, I tried to put Detective Pikachu, and they're like, yeah, it has to read Pokemon, and that has to be capital.
I was
going to
say,
it has to be the accent.
Over the E.
I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, this looks so stupid in headlines. Like,
it's such a... So I went to a 6:45 Thursday showing with the kid.
Morning?
No.
Oh, okay.
But sold out. Yeah? Like, I waited, and I was like, nah, there'll be tickets available. And then I looked, and I was like, oh, shite.
Yeah, people that have seen Endgame are probably going to see it, but as far as kids' movies go, it's like...
There's a whole generation... That this was their jam.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I am right past it.
And still is, though, because, I mean, we'll get into it on the episode, but, you know, Pokemon became popular when I was in middle school, and then after that, it was pretty much, okay, moving on.
Became popular when I was in middle age.
But it was like, moving on, but now there are hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands more Pokemon, and, you know what I mean? It's kept going, and kids still to this day buy those cards and bring them to school.
Oh, here's a parenting tip for you, for any new parents out there, Nicole, if that day ever comes for you. You want to get your kids...
That's a weird thing to say.
Well, like, she's right there. I'm looking at her face, and I feel weird. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because you guys don't need the tips.
That's true.
You
already
have your kids. You want to get your kids into Pokemon.
Okay.
Like, I highly recommend it, because it's been around so long. You can pick all that crap up dirt cheap at garage sales.
Yeah.
And so your kids think they're getting new stuff, but you're really buying it for like a penny a card or whatever. So, like, oh my God, when my kids were into Pokemon, it was great. It was like getting a raise.
You give them 1,000 cards.
Yeah. Man. You just go on eBay or go to a garage sale and pick that stuff up dirt cheap.
I'll tell you what, man, at the comic shop, there would be kids that would walk in on Saturdays. Like, the guy that on the shop would do, like, tournaments on Saturdays.
Yeah.
These kids would come in and just
drop
money.
Coin, yeah.
I was in the fraternity with him. He, like, runs Pokemon tournaments.
Yeah.
And he's really good at it. And his kids, like, one of his sons, I think, came in like second in the national tournament.
Wow.
Like, they flew to Hawaii to compete.
Oh, man.
Like,
that's
a real deal. Like, Magic has those. I mean, those card games, there are people that are really into the professional.
Like, that was like, I'm right past that.
Yeah.
Like, that was the generation right after
me.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Cause it was my generation in middle school. So you probably, and the thing is, I got to high school and was like, all right, moving on to other things. So it was like right there and then it was gone. But it's amazing that 20 years later, it's still.
See, I never jumped on the Pokemon train because I'm like, I've been down this road, pogs.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Not today.
Yeah.
So again, $55 million opening weekend.
Which, you know, that's a great number, especially with Avengers Endgame, but you got to wonder, God, what would that have been?
Without Endgame.
Without Endgame there.
Sure.
I have to believe it would be $100 million.
Because 55 is very impressive.
Yeah.
Given the...
Sure.
The climate.
Absolutely.
That we're
it's more
in.
Than I even expected they would get. But I think they're comparing it to, especially because it's Warner as well, they were comparing it to Shazam. So it's a pretty, they were basing their trajectory on Shazam. And so it was a pretty solid Friday. They actually won Friday by a little bit over Avengers. And so like, oh, this will do all right.
Yeah.
So 55. And then the foreign total is not in yet. But the estimate they had before the weekend already with its opening was $43 million. So we're at about $100 million worldwide. Estimated on a $150 million budget. And I think the second week's going to be strong on this, as it may be, as people are finally done seeing Avengers this weekend. They'll see Pikachu next week. And I do believe it will have a little bit of legs.
So it's pretty safe bet that we will get a Detective Pikachu.
That was greenlit in January.
I see what you did.
Was greenlit in January.
Was it really?
The second one was greenlit in January.
That's
already
funny.
So they saw the final product and they just knew. They said, okay, second one. So that is in the works.
They gotta figure out how to get that voice back in there.
They will find a way. Don't you worry. So all that's on next episode. Coming in at number three, The Hustle, which is the remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels with Rebel Wilson and Anne Hathaway. That is a $14 million opening. And let's see, do we have any overseas on that one? I would guess no. Overseas on that. From what I've heard, I mean, it's getting trashed in the reviews. Yeah. I heard it's just a straight...
It has no money overseas. Sadly, it was released.
Oh, shit. But I think it's sitting at something like a 14% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I love that.
Well,
the original one.
I think that's the problem. What I'm hearing from reviews is like they literally just did the gender switch with it. It's basically the exact... They didn't really change much.
Did she even pee herself?
Well, I didn't go that far into it.
Gotta believe that's Rebel Wilson.
So
yeah.
So anyway, I just heard it wasn't that inventive, and it's hard remaking a classic. I mean, that is a classic comedy.
With those two guys, man, I caught that on like HBO, and I was like, what is this? This is amazing. What is this movie? Yeah. And I love it. I love that movie. Like, it's so good.
It's fantastic. It's hilarious. So unfortunately, I guess it just wasn't enough. I mean, they're both good. I mean, they're both stars. They're both very funny. So I think the problem lies with the script. And again, it's not even just a gender thing. But when you remake a classic comedy like that, you're going to be under that scrutiny of, you know, it's hard not to compare it to the original.
It's tough. Like we talked about Death at a Funeral, where there was a...
That remake was great.
Yeah, and there was a big enough gap.
Yeah.
Like, between the two. Like, I don't think The original one didn't really get any...
It was a British
American
movie.
Yeah.
It didn't
love.
It didn't. I mean, there were certainly people that liked it.
I saw it here at an art house theater, but
that's
it was small...
That's... Shaun of the Dead was like that.
Okay.
I saw Shaun of the Dead at an art house theater just because I was like, all right, British rom-com zom. Let's do it.
Yeah. But that remake did a good job, though, because I like the original better, but that remake, even though it was very similar, it was funny enough, and you had a lot of star power with Chris Rock and Tracy Morgan. I mean, that cast was packed, and it's such a funny, good story that...
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, and they brought Peter Dinklage back, which is great. So that really worked, but it doesn't happen often. I mean, that's really hard.
Doesn't.
And Death at a Funeral also, as great as the original was not a classic comedy. I mean, it was a pretty tight, like, it was within a year or something. It came out where it was like, wait a minute, didn't this movie just happen?
That was an American thing for a while because they did that with The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. They did that with Let the Right One In.
Take the foreign movie.
They've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, there was that.
Cage.
Yeah, that's true.
But there was like,
the family.
There was that run real.
But there was a resurgence where it was like, did you say Let Me In?
Let Me In, and then The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and Death in the Family. I'm surprised, honestly. I think they were going to try to do Shaun of the Dead. Like, they were going to try to make an American version of that.
Yuck.
And they were just like, never mind.
Yeah.
I think that one got too big.
It did, yeah.
Too much of a following, definitely. So anyway, $14 million for that one, and we do not have a budget on that one yet, so we'll have to see. Number four, Long Shot. That is the Seth Rogen, Charlize Theron movie. What a shame on this one, because this movie... Did you see it, first of all?
I did. Okay. It was solid.
I'm hearing nothing but good things.
Yeah.
I heard it's a solid romantic comedy. It's really funny. I like both the leads in this. But for them to make the mistake of trying to counter program against Avengers to think that's the...
I mean, they did give it... they gave it 3 weeks. I feel like that's...
No, it didn't.
No, it came
open.
Out last week.
Oh, I thought it
so
came
they,
out this week.
They gave Avengers one
they
week.
Thought they thought that that week two of Avengers, there'd be enough drop-off and enough counter programming. But I think they underestimated, like, I mean, in my mind, like, Katie and I both loved Avengers. Like, we're not going to pick Long Shot over Avengers.
Avengers isn't a boy movie.
Yeah.
Right.
So for a date night movie, people are going to Avengers. They're depending on people that saw it week one. But again, I mean, people are busy. Not everyone can. And so it was a mistake because I think, having not seen it but read about it, if they would have released it in spring, if they would have held off on it, with as good as it sounds the movie is, like if they would have just dropped it somewhere different, I think they'd have more success. So it's a shame.
Is it rated R?
Yes.
Okay.
And I guess they didn't want to go up against these movies, but because, I mean, on Mother's Day, you're probably not going to go see Long Shot.
Yeah, it's not really a
rom-com. So they probably
should
have done earlier or a little later, but it's unfortunate. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I still haven't gotten to the theater, but hope to soon. Number five, The Intruder with $6.2 million.
The return of Dennis Quaid?
I'll tell you what, when I saw Dennis Quaid in the dog trailer before this movie, the last movie I saw him in was The Intruder.
Yeah.
Where he is just bat.
Can I tell you,
crazy?
I love Dennis Quaid.
Oh, yeah.
He's fantastic.
Someone online in a poll the other day, who do you like better, Dennis Quaid or Randy Quaid? I'm like, are you? What?
I do love that that Randy Quaid was at 0%.
It
was all Dennis Quaid.
I mean, because I literally replied to that. I go, well, one's a great actor and one is literally insane. Like, conspiracy theory.
I think Dennis Quaid, I feel like the whole Meg, like, he kind of went off the rails, not off the rails, but like kind of disappeared for a while after the whole Meg Ryan, Russell Crowe thing.
Yeah.
And he never really came back after
that. He must have smoked some ayahuasca in the woods or something.
I think he's like, he can go, he's I won't say he's on the level of Kurt Russell, but like he can, if he's in a movie, it's just like, well, I mean, I didn't want
to
see that.
He used to be great. What was that movie? Quick Change?
Yeah.
I mean, he was in that, but then Independence Day, like he's always been really.
Oh, he's been in lots. I mean, Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid.
I mean, yeah.
Randy Quaid's been in lots of good stuff. I mean, he was in Paper Moon.
I was talking about Dennis.
Last Picture Show.
Oh, yeah. He's dependable. I just mean, Randy Quaid used to be in a lot of great stuff.
Yeah.
And he was great.
Christmas Vacation.
But I mean, he literally thinks he was abducted by aliens. It's sad to see because he's always
Saturday Night Live.
He's always been crazy, but like he was great cast member in those roles. But no, Dennis Quaid's great. And that movie, The Intruder, got hammered, I think, by critics a little too harshly. I know Brad Hyen reviewed it for VSTL and he's listening. So hi, Brad. And he gave it a 0.5 he gave it an F. And I know some people gave it a 0.5 out of 4 stars. And it's like, the movie, I think, did what it intended to do.
Yeah.
And so I think it's more of like a 2 out of 4
stars.
Do you think
they were going for like The Boy Next Door kind of vibe?
I think
it's so campy.
I wish The Boy Next Door had been as campy as this one.
Yes, because remember we talked about The Boy Next Door wasn't crazy enough.
Right.
The Intruder is crazy.
It's wackadoodle, but it knows it's wackadoodle.
What was the
Katherine Heigl one?
Oh,
remember the one where she were just like, this is the character she needs to play and lean into the crazy.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Was it the Gabrielle Union one?
Was like the best friend, the mom.
She was the ex-wife.
That's what it is.
Oh, what was that movie?
I can't remember. But
like, I felt like that it was going back to like that 80s schlocky kind of thriller.
Yeah.
Like not erotic thriller, but
you got to lean into it if you're going to do the crazy.
Well, there's that one scene in the car. Unforgettable.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, apparently,
who was the other actress?
Apparently
in that?
It was not.
The other actress, waiting for my Atari 800 to catch up with me here.
I thought it was Gabrielle Union.
But she was in another one where she got like
Rosario Dawson.
There we go.
That's right.
You're both racist.
Oh.
No, Gabrielle Union.
But she was in another crazy.
She was in like a one where she gets locked out of a house.
Yeah, she was.
Yes.
And happy birthday to Rosario Dawson, who turned 40 yesterday.
Star of
Clerks 2.
The only
autograph I'm missing on my Clerks 2.
Is that right?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, shit. So, sad day.
But the thing with The Intruder is Dennis Quaid goes full crazy. It's awesome. And I think critics were a little harsh, but look at that box office. I mean, we're talking about in week two, it still made 6.2. So good for that movie.
I did that film box office thing.
Yeah.
What is it?
What?
The Movie League?
Yeah, yeah.
I did this week. And my guesses for this week, I thought this was pretty good. I came in 436th.
Okay. In the nation?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was pretty solid. And part of the reason I came in so high is like when I saw like dollar to projected box office in my head, I was like, I went Detective Pikachu and then I went Intruder, Intruder.
Because it's less expensive to do Intruder.
Right.
And it's exactly. So 6.2 million is a 43% drop in week two. We're at 20 million domestic on that one. And overseas, 342,000. So not depending on that. But we're at over 20 million on an $8 million budget. So it's making money at this point. Coming in at number six, we've got Palms, $5.5 million. Tom, you saw that one? Old people trying to be cheerleaders?
Yes.
And how did that work out for them?
Lots of broken hips.
Okay.
It was very, very bad.
Yeah.
And it was like, the trailer, I was like, this could be cute. And it was not. And it was an hour and 31 minutes.
That's tight.
They didn't talk about pom-poms until like 15 minutes into the movie.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then I would say another 15 minutes of the movie were montages of them practicing pom-poms.
Was it actually them?
It was, which is bad because they're old. They can't do anything.
Yeah.
And so, like, I mean, I get it. They're old, but like, so they can't do like crazy cheer. It's not Bring It On, right?
Oh,
but
man.
It's like, it's literally like them doing like step aerobics while they shake pom-poms. And I'm like,
in the water, like water
like,
aerobics.
This isn't,
because
like,
it's less impactful.
And then the whole point of the climax of the film is like, oh, they entered the contest and they went over the crowd. I'm like, no, they don't.
Yeah.
None of that would happen. None of this would happen.
I do always
appreciate
it.
They should have went the Bring It On route. They didn't win, right, at the end? They get second place.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I mean.
The same thing with Pitch Perfect.
I love that when it's.
No, wait, they do win in Pitch Perfect.
Or Bad News Bears.
Or Bad News Bears.
Or Rocky.
Yeah,
very much rock.
Yeah. It's like you can have a great movie and like you don't always have that happy ending, but they learn something along the way.
Right, but this was like, it was so aggressively unfunny.
That's too bad.
It was rough.
All right, so skip that one maybe. Coming in at number 7, Ugly Dolls with 4.2 million. That's a 51% drop in week 2. That is at $14.5 million domestic, and overseas, we're looking at another 1.6 million, so not a huge release over there apparently. That's on a $45 million budget. So, oops.
Whoa. Swing and a miss.
Not every franchise.
Yeah. Not every movie can turn into a franchise.
That's
if you're going to buy a real doll, why would you get an ugly one? Oh, that's what I don't understand.
It's a whole different thing. Number 8, Breakthrough with another 2.6 million. That's a 33% drop. So they're still strolling in to see that one. 37.2
That's
million.
Just in St. Louis.
Million. Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. It's at 48.9 million overseas. So 43.9 million worldwide on a $14 million budget.
They got to be happy with that.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's decent. I saw it. Like, I mean, it's a little lifetimey, right? Like, it's not. But I mean, it's. I thought it was decent for that type of movie.
Yeah.
It's, you know. So.
I will say I respected the fact that they did, at least to some degree, address the whole notion of like, well, why do you get a miracle and nobody else did?
Oh, they did?
Like, yeah, that it was, because I mean, there was so, and like, that mom for a good chunk of that movie comes off looking like a total bitch. And I was just like, I'm watching the movie and I'm like, is this because I'm not religious or is she a total bitch?
They bring up some good points.
And then finally in the movie, the husband's like, you're being a bitch. I mean, he said it in a Jesus-y way. He didn't say bitch.
That was, the husband?
You're being a real Judas.
Right. Is the husband?
There's a lot of actors.
Yeah, I was
going to
say. So they've got the guy from Luke Cage.
Luke Cage is in it.
The gal from This Is Us is the mom.
Right.
Who's the dad?
Topher Grace is in it.
Oh, really?
The pastor.
Yeah. Okay. The pastor.
The kid from
One Day at a Time.
One Day at a Time.
And then the dad is Aaron Eckhart. He was in Hulk.
He's somebody. Yeah, there's a lot of
There's a lot of names in it. But
I think it was, from being a not religious person,
right,
I found it to be an interesting story, and the way they approach the religious aspect and everything. Well, again, I mean, that is their agenda because it is to promote religion.
Right.
I didn't think so over the top where I was like, oh, come on.
And religion obviously played a very large part in their life. It would be unfair to remove it from
the
equation.
Yeah.
But like I said, I did respect the fact that they at least addressed, like, she was basically like, if you pray hard enough then my son will live, and
it's
then like and then he does live, but it's kind of like, let's not spike the football. A lot of people prayed and their kids die. That happens every day. It's not because they don't love Jesus enough.
Do you know my favorite Dracula stories is
what?
So did you ever see Dracula 2000?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Johnny Lee Miller.
Produced
by Jason Blum.
Yes.
I really thought you were going to go with Dead and Loving It, but
also very good. Do you know the story of how Dracula was created in that movie?
No.
So he's Judas.
Oh,
so
right, yeah, yeah.
So like, you know, he turns Jesus in. He goes to kill himself, and God's like, no, you got to live with this.
Interesting.
So he becomes Dracula.
Well, that's clever.
And then the silver that he's given is his weakness.
Because the silver pieces.
The silver pieces. Like,
That's actually really.
Like, and I got to tell,
right?
Like, when you're looking, and Dracula is Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
And when you, like, the movie's not great.
Now I don't want to see it.
I know. The movie's not great, but when you get that origin story, you're like, what?
Really,
how has nobody else come up with
it? Really
that?
Sets you up for disappointment because
does.
You're like, oh, hey, they're on to something. Right on. This
is
going
like,
to be, oh.
Yeah, you have to live forever and you have to deal with how, you know, this is how you live and blah, blah.
Produced by Jason Blum. So,
something. It's no John Carpenter's Vampires.
There you go. Number 9, crazy here in week 10, Captain Marvel, still pulling in $2.4 million, a 44% drop. Like, that is amazing. People are obviously doing the double feature thing.
That's not a bad idea.
It leads right up to it. So
apparently she filmed all that stuff before she did Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah. She did all the Avengers stuff, so she didn't know the story going in.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
2.3, that was $424 million domestic, and this thing's about to come out on home video, too, so they're still taking that money, $699 million before the weekend finals, million overseas, $1.12 billion.
And what's the first movie on Disney Plus from the MCU?
Captain Marvel.
Nope.
Right? No. What?
No.
Oh,
Endgame.
Because it doesn't come out till
November.
Yeah.
I think Captain Marvel is like in the next month.
Yeah, I think that's on Netflix or something. I think that's still part of the Netflix deal.
Yeah, but Endgame will be the first MCU
Newly
available movie on
Disney
Plus.
Didn't that work out well for them?
Yeah. And it's not like they planned that or anything.
Right. And rounding out the top 10 is Tolkien, $2.3 million domestic. And if they have the overseas on this one, which I would think this is the type of movie you'd think would be do well overseas.
At least in Britain.
They don't have any budget, or I'm sorry, they don't have a budget or an overseas total yet, so... That is the box office.
Is it a dark reimagining of his life or whatever?
I don't think it's dark. I think people are complaining.
I've heard complaints that they
whitewashed.
They removed religion from
yeah.
it. And he was very Catholic.
Right.
And so I've heard complaints that they took.
This guy might be your Batman. The religion out of it. This Nicholas Holt.
Nicholas Holt?
Yeah.
Really like Nicholas Holt.
He's
an animal.
He's too short.
So. Well, that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Nicole, would you like to be found and where so, if so?
Nope.
It's very smart of you. Very smart.
Yeah, I get enough stalkers. I feel like all women do.
Yeah, oh. I get it. But you will be returning as we discuss Detective Pikachu, which,
yes,
unlike Endgame, you've seen.
I have. Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, you've been warned.
I wanna be the very best, like no one ever was. Them is my real test. To train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. Each Pokemon to understand the power that's inside. Pokemon,
tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.